You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Got a lot to unpack this week.
Oh, it was a long, action-packed week filled with lots of excitement and daring and risks.
Lots of risks.
And hopefully some profit.
I think some of that was mixed in there, too.
All right. Well, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the stock market machine, hedge against the rage machine, rage against the hedge machine. We do it all, as long as we're doing it up against machines.
Just hate something.
We'd like to welcome any new listeners who may have wandered into the China Shop from off the street, looking around, just browsing around. Let me introduce you to the shop. We're here sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut our losses.
Number one rule is you buy it, you break it. Wait, is that right? Yeah, I think that's about right.
We buy it, you break it. We go through a lot of China here. Definitely go through a lot of China.
My wife's getting to be an expert.
So if you found your way here and you're not only new to the podcast, but new to stock trading in general, that's okay. We got you covered. We've got some great intro episodes. We'll have the links to in the episode description. We've got Comedians Getting Invested with Eddie Pence. Great general introduction to the basics of investing. We did an interview with Dr. Hans, the investing tutor, also a great spot to start. He talks a little bit about the macroeconomic influences into the market and trading. Good stuff, good stuff. We also have an introduction to options episode. You're wondering what we're talking about when we start jibber-jabbering about calls and puts and strikes and expirations and all that options jazz.
I just re-listened to that this week, so that way I know what you're talking about. So I should be good this week.
Oh, that's very important, Kyle. I'm glad you're on top of it. or you can also check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com. We've got all that stuff on there as well. But the best place to be, in my opinion, is our Discord server. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I are on there just about every day. It's really just an awesome place to be. We're sharing what we're doing in real time, talking about the latest developments as they happen. I mean, you don't have to wait for the weekend update, as it were. And if you do find yourself on that server, send us a private message or an email with your mailing address, and we will send you a smash-it-yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just really so glad you're here. We have a lot of fun, and it's always better with friends.
All right, show news?
Yeah, we got show news?
Well, we did hit a milestone.
What? Milestones? I like milestones.
5,000 downloads, and we just smashed through it. So, yeah, thanks to everybody for making this show grow.
Woo! All right! Bulls are showing up in the shop. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, remember when we hit 1,000? We were all excited. So, probably have to figure out something fun to do for that. And I got an idea that I'll cover a little bit later. See what you think.
Okay. You know, I've had a few ideas myself. we'll get there. We got any interviews coming up soon, Kyle?
Alex Greengard is the next one that will be coming on this coming Wednesday.
Yes.
And then the week after that, we've got Sarah Glass from TradePro Academy.
Sweet. Oh, I'm excited about both of those. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a deep dive into crypto. We're going to open up Alex's brain and swim around in all his crypto knowledge. I know he's been actively trading.
I'm looking forward to getting an answer to the age-old question. What is it?
what does it do? It makes money, Kyle. That's all you need to know.
Not lately.
Not lately. Well, sit back and relax, folks. We've got a flowery, fresh, lemon-scented show for you today. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and More options than sodium in an Arby's roast turkey ranch and bacon sandwich.
That's a lot.
It is. I looked up what sandwich had the most sodium.
So you researched that, but you won't read the fucking article.
Correct.
All right. Priorities.
And reach out to us, folks. We just love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, TikTok, Discord. We'll have the link to our Discord in the episode description. If you're old school, you could just send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls, but with the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you and your little street thief monkey pal friend have gotten wrapped up.
Aladdin.
Shit.
Nailed it.
Yeah, well, just way to jump on top and stomp down my little story I was trying to weave. That's okay.
I feel like somebody just got a subscription to Disney Plus.
I love Disney Plus. All right, Kyle, I think it's time for some news.
Oh, thank God.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
All right. So it seems that lawmakers in the House have introduced 5 new bills that would place significant limits on big tech like Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon.
They've been threatening this for a while, haven't they?
They have. Now, this is just bills written in the House, and then we know we try to stay apolitical here, but we know there's gridlock.
Oh, yeah.
We know bills don't like to get passed and put on the president's desk anymore. That's something we used to do in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
So they're passing 5 bills. They want to place limits on big tech's ability. Their ability to leverage their existing position to get new businesses and push their services over competitors. Something like I used to sell on Amazon as a third party seller.
Right.
Something Amazon does is they might not be beating my price, but their algorithms point any shoppers to their product first, even if my product was cheaper and closer. Like it could be somebody in Phoenix and, you know, I'm in Tucson and like I'm going to ship it. It's going to get there next day. Well, Amazon wants to ship it from California for their price. So they're going to push that one. They call it the buy box. They're going to put that in the buy box first.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Well, didn't Microsoft get in trouble for that years ago when they were using their browser, Internet Explorer, like everything came loaded on Windows with that, and everyone was claiming unfair advantage.
They were writing their software to make it not play well with anything but Internet Explorer.
Right.
They did get in trouble for that. But is it any different today?
Not really.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if any of this actually makes its way through the Senate. Like I said, there are 5 different bills: American Choice and Innovation Online Act, Ending Platform Monopolies Act, Platform Competition and Opportunity Act, augmenting blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's on and on and on.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Supposedly, they have bipartisan support. You know, I guess limiting the power of big tech is popular. But like I said, the Congress and Senate aren't known for advancing bills to the president's desk. So I'll be surprised to see if any of these go through.
I would, too.
But so keep rotating out of tech. I know it's up this week, but I don't think it's going to end the year as well as it has been going the past month. That's for sure. You got any good articles for us, Kyle?
I was excited to see AMC finally release the shareholder information on, what was that, the 9th, Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. So here's from their statement. There is 501.78 million shares outstanding as of June 2nd. The record date for the meeting was July 29th. As of June 2nd, there are approximately 4.1 million individual shareholders eligible to vote at the upcoming shareholder meeting.
Wow.
Aaron Adams had stated that, well, because remember it was 3.2 before.
It was. We picked up 1 million new shareholders. All right.
But as far as how much of, well, you said more than 80% now of AMC shares are held by a broad base of retail investors with an average holding of around 120 shares.
Nice.
I think that's still undercounted. I mean, we were 80% before with 3.2 million shareholders. I don't see how that's gone down. In fact, based on his average holding, I mean, that really takes you up to like 98% of the float. And I'm not sure if this is all counting people who aren't eligible to vote, like the people overseas who can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like there is pretty significant short interest on there. And that's just what we know about. Would have been nice if they'd ever, you know, actually tell us how many shares are out there. It seems like that should be something you should be able to figure out. Well, this is how many shares everybody owns. Like, how hard is that to figure out, you know?
I mean, it would be self-reported data, but I almost wish everybody got together and on a, like a one website and registered and put their posted their share count so we could see, we could compare those two numbers.
Yeah, somebody have to go through and confirm, though. I mean, you have to take it from the brokers.
Well, the brokers could report that anonymously.
You would think.
But I have a feeling the brokers are a little bit complicit in...
Yeah, they probably don't want that getting out either.
The games. They don't... If they're facilitating naked shorts and phantom shares, then, yeah, they don't want that number known.
GameStop released their earnings. Look like they're pretty solid. They're up. I think their losses were like... Or it was about a 50% beat, roughly. But that wasn't the most interesting part. The most interesting part was them poaching another two Amazon employees. Matt Furlong is the new CEO and Mike Rucupero as the CFO. Both of them coming from Amazon, where they held senior roles and oversaw various growth initiatives during their respective tenures. What was really interesting about all this is you got some great news coming out. You got these two new people coming that's from the industry that they want to emulate. You've got great earnings that come out, and somehow the share price falls $100 a share. Who is selling on that news is what I can't figure out.
Yeah, that feels really weird.
Yeah.
Feels really weird.
And then one more quick thing, and I'm going to get off the meme stocks. I'll let you go back. You can cut this if you need to.
Yeah, you're fine.
Remember Wendy's popping up all over CNBC is like the next target from the Reddit mob?
No, I actually missed that one.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Everyone thought Wendy's was or at least the mainstream media thought Wendy's was the new target. But that was part of their algorithm that goes through and like searches Reddit and Twitter and like combs for different ticker mentions.
Yeah,
they were confused because of Wen Lambo, W-E-N Lambo, all the posts that people were putting in. W-E-N is the symbol for Wendy's. So yeah, if you bought Wendy's thinking that it's targeted right now, you might want to get out.
Oh god, that's like AMCX.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting boosted because of AMC. Like, yeah, gotta be sure you're getting the right stock ticker. Or if it's social media, if it's really a stock ticker or just...
Right.
just apes using ape slang.
Wen Lambo. Oh, yes, they love Wendy's.
Yes! They're going to take their Lambos to Wendy's.
What else you got, Dan?
I've got a couple stories, both talking about inflation.
Oh no inflation! That's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening, Kyle. Don't.
I'm not looking. I'm not listening.
Yes. Apes, cover your eyes. You put your fingers in your ears. Earmuffs. And close your mouths. No, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Inflation is so. This isn't totally a bad story. I mean, inflation is on the rise in the U.S., but according to Daniel Vernazza, chief international economist at UniCredit Bank, if price pressures persist contrary to the Federal Reserve's expectations, the data would be painting a different picture. In a note to clients, Mr. Vernazza highlighted a complicated but interesting chart, which, I don't know, we've got a link to the news story if you really, really want to get on.
Are you boring yourself trying to read it?
Yeah. Everybody take a nap for the next minute or two. Basically, to boil down, it's he's charting the change in prices against the change in spending, and he looking at them relative to the pre-pandemic levels, and he's saying most items have moved backward and forward along the horizontal axis, which is the change in spending.
Mm-hmm.
So while the prices are going up, spending has shifted naturally in his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't his argument was the things on the chart would all shift to the upper right quadrant, which would mean we'd be getting positive demand shock and increased consumption at the same time. Like we're not seeing what he would qualify as the inflation spiral upward.
Okay.
We're not seeing that yet. What we're seeing is the natural effects of being post-pandemic is what he was using this chart to try and illustrate. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of articles that are like, calm down about inflation,
right?
All over the place, which makes me wonder: are these true? Because this data, you know, this guy at this bank, Mr. Venanza, it seems to make sense when you read the article.
What about your next story, the consumer price index
on the housing?
Oh, I thought you had one on the CPI. Wasn't the CPI up like 5%?
CPI is up.
Yeah, that's a huge jump too. That's not that doesn't make the inflation's not a big deal. Prices just went up 5% last month. Whatever.
Well, he's arguing that the prices are going up because we're getting a surge in demand from post-pandemic activity.
Okay.
He's saying it's that demand surge is pushing it. I mean, inflation isn't helping, but they're kind of working together.
So why isn't toilet paper cost an arm and a leg?
Because inflation hasn't hit toilet paper.
That's not inflation. Demand hit it.
Did hit it. I don't think the prices of toilet paper are very elastic.
No, okay.
Just like my toilet paper. Look at the price of a rental car.
Right.
They're having rental car shortages all over the place. Working at a hotel, I could tell you just yesterday, a guy came in and he was like, yeah, I showed up. And they were like, we don't have a car for you. And he's like, but I prepaid. Here's my contract. And they're like, well, yeah, but we don't have any cars.
That's funny, because didn't they just have a glut of cars that they dumped on the used car market?
They did, and they sold them all, yeah.
Yeah, good job, guys. Way to plan for the future.
Maybe not the best time to invest in Hertz or Enterprise.
Right.
And then real quick, the housing inflation going on,
mm-hmm.
We're at a 13-year high.
Woo!
So we haven't seen housing in prices get inflated this fast. It's been 13 years since we've seen it go up this high.
What happened 13 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Serious?
2008? Yeah. What was going on in 2008? Nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing. It was just peaches and cream, rosy economy, everybody rich. The thing that stood out to me was there's a big lag. Like, these numbers aren't... They're collected, like, according to this news story that was posted on MarketWatch, like, twice a year. Is when they re-update stuff for home prices.
Right.
So there's like a huge lag. So people are like, oh, you're saying, yeah, Bureau of Labor of Statistics is saying housing prices are up 2.2%. But it's really people like realtors. If you go out and actually look at the prices and start calculating yourselves, it's closer to 13%.
Yeah.
That's too
significant.
Fast.
Yeah.
That's the kind of speed we saw in 2005, right before the housing crash of 2005.
Oh, so we've got 3 years. 3 years to sell and get some land.
No, 2005 is when the housing market crashed. 2008 is when the stock market crashed.
No, the housing market crashed in around 2008, because that's where when I bought my first house.
Well, I guess it crashed again, because I sold my house in 2005. About 6 months before the crash happened, because my brothers both bought their houses right when I was selling mine.
Oh.
And within 1 year, they had lost one third of the value of their houses.
I do not remember that one, but again, I was probably underwater in the Pacific somewhere at that time.
Yes, yes, that's exactly where you were.
Yeah.
You're housed with a bunch of other men deep under the sea in a long phallic tube.
Yes, I was.
Okay, all right. If we got any other news for us, Kyle?
I've got Virgin Galactic. I think we talked about Bezos trying to get into space. He announced that he's got a flight coming up in July, the end of July, like July 20th. The rumor on the street now is that Virgin Galactic is trying to get Branson into space over the 4th of July weekend because he really, really, really wants to beat Bezos.
I want to be the first billionaire in space, you bastard!
And it kind of makes me want to buy more call options on Virgin Galactic, because you got to figure if they get Branson into space first, probably going to see a nice healthy bump in share price again.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And you know what? You've called it several times. Oh, hey, if Virgin Galactic does this thing, we're going to see a jump. And Kyle, you're almost always right.
If they even just announce the flight, I think you'll see a healthy jump in price. And at that point, then it's going to be a question of whether or not it's successful. But I think that actually leads into a good poll question.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which of the big three is going to be the first billionaire to safely go up into space and return? I think we should quantify that as safely go up and come back.
Musk, Bezos, or Branson?
Yep.
I love it. In fact, yeah, that's a fantastic Twitter poll. I just saw a thing on TMZ talking about Bezos versus Branson racing to space. That's, yeah.
TMZ. This is our generation's space race.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. The first private billionaire.
I love it.
Which potential James Bond villain will be the first to make it to space safely?
Two of the three are potential villains. I don't know that Branson is necessary. Branson's more of like the Bruce Wayne if he didn't have a cause. last thing I have to mention, this will probably get cut. Lordstown Motors, one of our Discord listeners, has been trying to get on the tour. He's a big investor, likes the stock, but they had posted recently that they're about to go out of business. They're in danger of running out of capital.
Yeah.
There was an update to that story. I don't know if he saw it yet, but I did see an article saying that they were in negotiations to bring in some more cash flow with some private investors.
Okay.
So I think that's why we saw it bounce off that 10, jump back up to 11 again.
Yeah, I remember talking on the Discord about it and saying I would really want to see news of their secured funding before I made the decision to stay long in this stock.
I have a confession to make, too. I actually saw that story before he posted it the night before, but I thought I'd let him at least get a night's sleep before I tried to share it, and he beat me to it. Like, I really don't want to be the one sharing this story. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh.
It's like the market's already closed. You can't do anything about it. I'll just share it in the morning.
Now, Lordstown, they are required by law to inform shareholders that there's a possibility they could run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they already know that they've got the call lined up and there's a 9 in 10 chance this bank they're going to talk to next week is going to give them the money, even if they know that, they still have to inform their shareholders. So it is a big panic news. If I had been long in Lordstown, my very first thought would have been, when do I get out?
Right. Yeah, me too.
But hey, if they manage to secure more funding and they get that product to market, 2 years could be all in the rearview mirror.
Yep.
Making money.
And that should bring us into some earnings. Pickings are slim, but we got a few notable ones that popped up.
Let's hear that music.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
Okay, so earnings. What do we have for the 14th Monday?
Oracle, ORCL, and Jinko Solar, JKS. Not looked at that one lately. I don't know how it's been doing.
I haven't looked at anything that's not AMC in a while, so I'm going to check that one out. JKS likes to move.
Yes, it does. The 15th, we've got H&R Block. On the 16th, we've got Kroger and Smith & Wesson. SWBI, Kroger's KR. On the 17th, we've got Adobe, ADBE, and Commercial Metals Company, CMC, Steel Industry.
That's on Thursday.
Nothing on Friday. Like, there's one company reporting, and I have no idea who it was.
That's okay. I wouldn't have any time to pay attention to anything but AMC on Friday with all the options expiring.
Yeah, I barely paid attention to even the news. I didn't even realize there was a jobs report that was favorable. Completely forgot about that.
Oh, jeez. We completely forgot about Crypto Dan. Why don't you give me some music real quick?
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
And I'll go ahead and pretend like I'm actually talking to you, even though neither of us had it in our sheets.
Yep.
And I kind of had a Home Alone moment where I just woke up screaming, crypto!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. So there's two big stories that came out about crypto that kind of caught my eye. The first one was that El Salvador has become the first country to adopt it as their legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is going to work, and it's actually one of the reasons why I'm excited to have Alex next week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can't print it. Guessing they're not going to be mining it. So how do you adopt it and make it your currency? Well, I guess other people use the dollar, so who knows. What do you think, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. That's very interesting, Dan. Oh, I wish we had more time for you to expound on that.
Yeah.
The second thing I saw that was interesting was that looks like there's going to be a new 401k retirement offering for Bitcoin and cryptos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we keep having the discussion whether crypto is an investment or a currency. Looks like we've got El Salvador that thinks it's a currency and retirement funds that seem to think it's a investment platform. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. A nice dichotomy. No, that's not a good word.
Yeah.
It's a nice, what's the word for something that's opposing each other? Shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan, can you help me out here?
Yeah.
No, you can't? Oh, that's right. We forgot to record this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God damn it. I hope the people who tuned in specifically for this segment, please, please, please forgive us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're so glad that you stuck around with us and made it here to the end. But we do have to close up shop and kick everybody out till the next store hours. Luckily, you get to do it on your time.
Yep, I gotta pee. Let's go.
All right. If you like our show, please let us know by rating and subscribing on the platform of your choice. If you like our show and hate social media, then please tell your friends. If you have no friends and hate social media and you want to give us money to pay for advertising and help you find more friends, then you can donate at the PayPal link below. It's a big shop. There's room for everybody. Happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.